I'd like to begin just a moment with prayer before we read God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to think on it and meditate on it. And we pray for your spirit to guide and direct us, especially to guide and direct my words and thoughts as I present this message. Thank you again for the guidance of your spirit and the gift of your word. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight I want to turn to the Gospel of Paul. Some of you are wondering, where is that? Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's many times called Paul's Gospel. The first five verses of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. There ends the reading of God's word. Tonight I want to talk about hope. And I want to ask, what is hope? You know, we don't talk about hope a lot anymore. I noticed the Reformed Church has a college named Hope College. There's a church down in the neighborhood a little ways called Hope Reformed Church. But what does hope have to do with us as Christians? We don't talk about it very much. What does it mean? It's interesting. There was one quote that I read in studying for this. One gentleman believes that hope is a denial of reality. Is that what hope is? So where do we look for an answer? What is hope? Well, I did the one thing. I went to the, I forget what you call it now. It's a Strong's Concordance, and typed in the word hope and looked up New Testament references to hope. And I don't know if you can see how many pages that I have here, but starting in Matthew, hope is repeated over and over and over again. So we should be talking about it quite a bit. What is it? I want to bring out three passages that are pretty important. 1 Corinthians 13:13 talks about hope. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide. In other words, they last. We all talk about faith and love a lot, but do we talk about hope? It lasts forever. We should be talking about it. What is it? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Talks about faith, hope, and love again. It says that faith and love are the breastplate for the believer. They keep him safe. They protect him. But hope is the helmet. The most needed protection is given by hope. But what is it? We don't talk about it. What is it? One of the most interesting references, Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19, talks about hope is the anchor of our soul. Interesting passage. And there's a lot of talk that goes on about what Paul is talking about in this passage. And I'm going to spend just a moment and talk about that. In the days that this was written, most of the harbors for the ships weren't all that red hot. They were shallow harbors. Many of them had sandbars running across the mouth of that harbor. And unless the tide was high, big ships couldn't get in. So it was the practice of that day to take a small ship, grab hold of the anchor, bring it into the harbor, and drop it. So that ship had its anchor in the safety of that harbor, and it was kind of like a forerunner of what was coming for that ship, because once the tide came in, the ship could get into harbor then. But it was a safety net. It was an anchor of hope of what was coming. That ship knew that safety was coming ahead. And that is a very good example of what hope is. Our hope, our anchor of hope, is planted by Jesus in the harbor of heaven, and we can follow in the right time. Anyway, hope, what is it? Those are a few instances from Scripture. There are many, many, many. But it's difficult to define hope. I want to look at our text tonight and say this. Hope is a vector. Now that helps a lot, doesn't it? What's a vector? A vector is a math term, and it means a quantity represented by an arrow with both direction and magnitude. Now that definition loses in my mind, but let me describe it to you. Envision hope as this, an airplane taking off from the runway. It has a vector. It's going from a point, the airport, and it's going up, up, and away. That's the vector. And hope is a vector. Now, to explain that tonight, I have 2 points. So we should get out of here in time. 2 points only. The first is hope has a starting point. The second is hope has a ray or a line going out and growing up. So our first point, the starting point of hope. Before that, I want to turn to the first couple of verses in chapter 5. Whenever you see Paul write therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. And Paul is here saying, because of all the things I've said before in this book, this is what we have. He says, we are justified. Fancy word meaning just as if I never sinned. We are justified through faith. And this is a beautiful verse, one that we could just meditate on for the rest of the night. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That is the anchor for our hope. We have peace with God. We're justified. I want to spend just a moment here. When I was in Bible college, we had a study, a book called Grace by Lewis Ferry Schaefer. A great big thick book talking about just the subject of grace. And in this book, there were the 33 divine riches of grace. We had to memorize these. 33 things that happen to a Christian when he accepts Christ as his Savior. It's amazing. That is the basis for our hope vector. 33 things that happen. I'm not going to remember most of them now, but let me just give a start. We are a peculiar people. We are members of the holy royal priesthood. We are citizens of heaven. We're redeemed from the slave market of sin. We're justified. We have propitiation. In other words, we've made friendship with God through Christ's work. We are children of God. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Those are some of the major ones, but it goes on. There are so many things that we as Christians have because we believe. What a foundation for our hope. What a starting point for that vector of hope. And that's what Paul's saying here is, get a glimpse of the glory that is ahead of us, people. Be excited about it. We are God's children. Have hope. It's a beautiful picture Paul presents us with. Hope. I want to go on from there. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about the importance of this. Now, I didn't want to forget this. There's a story that helps to describe how important this foundation is. It's a story that takes place in a large city, in a school system. They had a program in this school system that if kids were going to miss school for a long time, they had a special group of teachers that they would send to help keep the kids up in their schoolwork. Well, it happened, this one little boy was burned really badly, and he was going to be out of school for a while. And a teacher was asked to fulfill the assignment of teaching this kid about adverbs and adjectives. Well, she picked up the material from the school and went to this hospital, had no idea what she was getting into. She went to the room, and here was a little Tommy, burned very badly, in extreme pain. And she sat down for an hour and tried to teach him about adverbs and adjectives. She didn't feel very successful in this venture. She thought she kind of failed, in fact. But the next day, she got a call from the hospital and said, "Ma'am, what did you do to that boy?" She said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I tried. It was hard to teach him. It wasn't much I could do." And they said, no, you misunderstand. This guy just turned around. He was failing. He was dying. And now he's doing wonderfully well. He's getting better. He's going to make it." And it happened after you came. She said, "I don't know. I have no idea." Well, 2 weeks later, they got talking to Tommy. And they said, "Tommy, what happened to you after that teacher came?" And he said, "Well, I'll be honest." He said, "I thought I was a goner. I was ready to die. But I thought, if the school system is ready to teach me about adverbs and adjectives, I must be going to live." So he carried on. He realized his potential. That's what we have as Christians. We have to realize our basis for hope. That's what Paul's saying in these first verses. Get a glimpse of that. Get a glimpse of what we have. And that will change us. That's why Bible college made us memorize the 33 divine riches of grace, because our self-image of who we are in Christ is important as we live forward. You know, there's this expression, "Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." That's false. Because heavenly mindedness makes us earthly good. And that's what the next section talks about, the vector, going forward. And this is an interesting passage. What does it tell us? Let's see, verse 3, I think, is where we are. "Yes, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering." Now, that is a crazy passage. Who in the world rejoices in suffering? You think, "Paul, this is a mistake." But as you read through Scripture, you see Jesus said the same thing. James said the same thing. Peter said the same thing. We are told over and over as Christians, we should rejoice in suffering. Now, what part of the hope vector is that? That's a hopeless situation, isn't it? Suffering brings despair. But no, as a Christian, it shouldn't. And that's the point Paul's making in this passage. Suffering is kind of a descriptive word for pressure being put on. I like to think of someone taking modeling clay and pushing it, forming it, changing it. That's what suffering is. That's the way the word translates. How is that something we should be thankful for? I want to make clear here first, Paul is not saying that we as Christians should be stoics. We shouldn't just trudge through hardships. "I can make it. I can do it." Stiff upper lip. It doesn't take Christianity to be that. The world goes through hardships like that. Paul isn't telling us to be masochists. He isn't saying, take enjoyment in pain. You know, there are some people who do that, where they're not happy unless things are going bad. They relish bad times. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying rejoice in suffering. And how is that? How is it that we can rejoice in suffering? By going back to the basis of our hope vector and realizing who we are. Realizing God's promises. Realizing that hopeless situation you're in, God's hand is in your hand. You can rejoice in the difficult times that are facing you because you know that God has a hold of you and is guiding you and directing you through them. It's only in that you can rejoice. But it's important that we do rejoice, because it's only through rejoicing that God can adequately use suffering to grow us, that he can make that vector of hope rise up. Our attitude is important. We need to take a conscious attitude to realize that our God cares for us, loves us, and is guiding and directing us through that situation. I'm going to break away and tell the story here again. It's a story about an African prince and his friend. Now, this African prince grew up with this guy. I'm going to call him Tom because I always forget his real name. But anyway, he and Tom grew up together, and Tom had a habit of always saying, "It is a good thing." No matter what happened to Tom, he would say, "It is a good thing." Well, it was a little bit bothersome for the king or prince, but he got used to it, and they carried on together. One day they were out hunting lions, And Tom quickly got the gun ready for the prince, got it all set, handed it to him. The prince shot at the lion. Tom had done something wrong, and the gun blew up in his hand, blew his thumb right off. What do you think Tom said? "It is a good thing." The prince got so mad, he said, "This is not a good thing. I lost my thumb. That's it. I'm done with you, Tom. You're going to prison." They got back to the village. Tom was in prison. A year later, the prince was out hunting again. He was hunting somewhere where he shouldn't have been hunting. He and his group were captured by cannibals. The cannibals tied the prince up, had him at the stake. They were ready to burn him and eat him, and they realized he didn't have a thumb. Now, these cannibals were suspicious cannibals. They said, "We can't eat a man who isn't whole." They cut him loose and sent him on his way. Now the prince says, "Oh, Tom said this was a good thing. He was right." He went back to the prison. He said, "Tom, here's what happened." He told him the whole story. He said, "I am so sorry that I put you in prison. You were right. It is a good thing. How can I ever repay you or thank you or say I'm sorry enough?" Tom said, "It is a good thing." He said, "What do you mean it's a good thing? You were in prison for a year." He said, "Yes, but if I wasn't, I would have been with you." Okay. Anyway, the point of the story is really deep. You can laugh and chuckle, but isn't that true for us as Christians? It is a good thing. Paul is telling us to rejoice, to just be excited about sufferings because they are good things. Difficult to see when we're in them. Very difficult, but it is a good thing. God will not direct you where it isn't a good thing. That's the hope vector. Now, from here on, the text gets kind of fun. It jumps around a lot. It goes through a series of things because we hear that we rejoice. Let's see. We rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because suffering produces perseverance. Stick-to-itiveness. It produces an endurance. It produces an ability for us to abide, to keep going. So, not only does it teach us to trust in God, but it teaches us to keep going through hard times. And I've seen this through people that have suffered. The suffering does produce endurance in them. It produces an ability to bear up under the load, to keep going, to take it more and more. There are people that I looked at as I was studying this. Elizabeth Elliot, you guys probably have heard of her. She waited 5 years to marry her husband, Jim. And after 5 years of waiting, they got married and went into the mission field. They were married for 5 months, and her husband, Jim, was killed by basically cannibals in the jungles of Ecuador. She writes and speaks. She has an interesting set of lectures. They're called "Suffering is Not for Nothing." Bad English, but it's a good series of lectures where she talks about how suffering is good. She's learned to bear up under that suffering and to live with it and to grow through it. Johnny Erickson Tada, paralyzed as a teenager, and has lived a life proclaiming God's goodness in the suffering that she's gone through. Corrie Ten Boom, you've all heard of her and the suffering that she went through, but she shines as she tells about what God has done through her suffering. That hope vector is going up for those people. And the same should be true for us. We should learn to endure that suffering, to rejoice in it, and to bear up under it and grow through it. And then what comes next? The next thing it talks about is this perseverance produces character. Now, as I looked up character, some of the commentaries talked about it really means shown to be reliable, to be able to pass through the test, kind of like iron in a fire. So suffering that we should be rejoicing in and persevering through builds character. It hardens us as a fire hardens iron. It makes us better. It gives us character. And And those people I mentioned, those are all people that I've seen that character in, that ability to trust God and to stand strong and firm in God. That's what this hope vector is doing. It's building us. It's building us higher and higher and better, teaching us to trust God. You know, Paul talked in 2 Corinthians about his trials. I'm not going to read the list now, but it goes on extensively of all of the suffering that Paul went through. Shipwrecks, prisons, stoning, flogging, hated by people, on and on. It's quite a long list of things that Paul suffered through. And he came out shining like gold because his attitude was such that, God, I'm suffering for you and I'm glorying in it. Build me, strengthen me, help me through. And the hope vector went up for him. The same should be true for us. Now I want to go to the last point, and this is really interesting to me. What's the final part here? Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Interesting. As I looked at making a passage or a section on hope, what do I see? I see we start with hope. We start with hope in God. And then we go through all of these trials, and they strengthen us and grow us and whatever. But then what's the end result? More hope. And that's the vector thing of hope. Hope, allowing God to work, is going to create more hope. Interesting. You would never think that that's the case. You would think that as we live through these trials and difficulties, we would be more doubtful, more hopeless. But the opposite is true. Paul tells us that this life of living in hope, living through suffering with rejoicing, building perseverance, building character, creates more hope. And then finally, interestingly, our last verse of the text talks about God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The key of the whole hope vector is right there. This is the first time in Romans that Paul talks about the love of God. It's the first time in Romans that Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. But it's crucial for us as Christians, as we live in this hope vector, to have our hand on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, the Comforter. He wraps his arm around us and carries us through these difficulties. God's love is poured out through us, through the Holy Spirit. And that is what helps us through this hope vector. So, tonight, how will we go forward? Will we go forward in hope? Will we trust in God? Just as I was in the hallway in school in a hopeless situation and found such hopefulness with my mom's hand, won't we do the same with God? Won't we put our hand, actually, won't we allow him to put his hand in ours? Trust in him. Rejoice as we go through those sufferings, knowing that God is working in us. God is doing what's best for us. It is a good thing. And then we'll build endurance. We'll grow. We'll mature as Christians. We'll develop character. Most importantly, we'll grow in hope as we see God's love in us, working through us, carrying us along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for hope. Johnny Tada talks about hope as being a small knot hole that we can look through to see the glory that awaits us beyond. Help us, Lord, to look through that knot hole, to see the glory that awaits us, to stand strong and firm in it, and to trust in you to carry us through this world and to grow us and develop us and to strengthen us, to hone us as a fine piece of iron. We thank you for the challenges in our life. We thank you that you've given us these struggles that encourage us to depend on you and not on ourselves. And we ask that you would help us as we venture through this life and this hope vector that we face. Amen.